Hello, folks, and welcome to Songs of Our Own, a marital tour through the music that shaped us. I'm your co-host, Lee Strickland.
And I'm Al Leone.
Well, hey, Al.
Hi, Lee. How you doing?
I am doing good. A little tired, but doing good. How are you?
I would echo that statement on all fronts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy International Women's Day and, like, Women's Month.
Woo. Yeah. How exciting is that?
It's pretty awesome. There's some cool photos out there of women all across the world celebrating. And it's really fascinating to look it up and see, like, what's going on in people's countries and how that's affecting what they're doing for International Women's Day.
It's wild. Really?
Yeah. Like, one of them, I think it was in the UK, definitely has, like, a Handmaid's Tale scene going on.
Whoa.
And then there was another country that had the, like, bring back our girls stuff. You know, in the US, like, keep your rosaries off my ovaries.
Yes.
The huge.
The huge, yeah.
Bless America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm super stoked you all got a, like, 31-day month.
Yeah, you know, it's nice, but I mean, we've had this conversation. I feel like every day is International Women's Day.
Mm, preach.
Because we're a big freaking deal.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm like, fine, give me 31 days, but move over. I have stuff to do the other days of the year, too.
The other days of the year, I'm still going to slay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Al, it's International Women's Month. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about the... Queen herself, Joni Mitchell.
Yes.
And we're talking about her song Big Yellow Taxi, which I'm really excited about because I definitely thought it was a Counting Crows song for a very large portion of my life.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the Counting Crows version because I think that was a lot of folks' introduction to this song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did not know Vanessa Carlton sung on their version.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, I was like, I kept seeing that come up, and I was like, no, it's not. She doesn't sing on this.
Mm-hmm.
She's totally in there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we'll get to their version. We're going to talk about the original first.
Because that's how we like to do it.
Because that's how we do it on the show.
We give people credit for what they made.
It's a process.
All right, Lee, let's start the process.
All right, I'm going to dig in with Joni's bio. It's a long one as a heads up. Roberta Joan Mitchell, better known as Joni Mitchell, is a Canadian-American singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and painter. As one of the most influential singer-songwriters to emerge from the 1960s folk music circuit, Mitchell became known for her personal lyrics and unconventional compositions, which grew to incorporate pop and jazz elements. She has received many accolades, including 11 Grammy Awards and induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1997. Rolling Stone magazine called her one of the greatest songwriters ever, and AllMusic has stated, quote, Joni Mitchell may stand as one of the most important and influential female recording artists of the late 20th century. Mitchell began singing in small nightclubs in Saskatoon and throughout Western Canada before moving to the nightclubs of Toronto. She moved to the United States and began touring in 1965. Some of her original songs are Urge for Going, Chelsea Morning, Both Sides Now, The Circle Game, were recorded by other folk singers, allowing her to sign with Reprise Records and record her debut album, Songs to a Seagull, in 1968. Settling in Southern California, Mitchell helped define the era and a generation of popular songs like Big Yellow Taxi and Woodstock. Her 1971 album Blue is often cited as one of the greatest albums of all time. It really is. It was rated the 30th best album ever made by Rolling Stone magazine in their 2003 list of the 500 greatest albums of all time, rising to number 3 in the 2020 edition.
Wow.
That's so cool. It's a fantastic album. If you haven't listened to it, you know, get on it.
Okay, pause. Why would something rise up the charts? Is it just like the longer it has, the more you see how important it is to history? Or like, that seems like a pretty big deal to go from all the way up to number 3 from that starting point.
From 30th to 3rd?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think time plays a big factor in this as well. How have these songs aged? There's definitely more appreciation. And then the, like, Rolling Stone typically gets a panel of other, like, music critics, musicians, like, people in that industry to rank these albums. And so that panel may have changed, or the tastes of the panel may have changed as they themselves have aged and rediscovered some of these albums. So that could, I mean, it could very well be that. But I know it seems like recently a lot of albums, I mean, this has always been kind of known as a great album, but albums that have been kind of pushed aside and at the time they were released received pretty negative reviews are here recently being really, like, re-examined. And the opinion of critics seems to be changing on a lot of those albums.
Interesting.
So kind of cool. Time, you know, changes opinions.
Yeah.
All right, so back to Joni. In 2000, the New York Times chose Blue as one of the 25 albums that represented, quote, turning points and pinnacles in the 20th century popular music. NPR ranked Blue number one on a 2017 list of the greatest albums made by women. Mitchell began exploring more jazz-influenced ideas on her 1974's Court and Spark album, which featured the radio hits Help Me and Free Man in Paris, and became her best-selling album. Mitchell's vocal range began to shift from mezzo-soprano to that of a wide-ranging contralto around 1975. Her distinctive piano and open-tuned guitar compositions also grew more harmonically and rhythmically complex as she melded jazz with rock and roll, R&B, classical music, and non-Western beats. Starting in the mid-1970s, she began working with noted jazz musicians, including Jaco Pastorius, Tom Scott, Wayne Shorter, Herbie Hancock, and Pat Metheny, as well as Charles Mingus, who asked her to collaborate on his final recordings. She later turned to pop and electronic music and engaged in political protests. She was awarded the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2002. Mitchell produced or co-produced most of her albums and designed most of her own album covers, describing herself as a, quote, painter derailed by circumstance, end quote.
I love that.
I do too. A critic of the music industry, she quit touring and released her 19th and last album of original songs in 2007. She would give occasional interviews and make appearances to speak on various causes over the next two decades, though a rupture of a brain aneurysm in 2015 led to a long period of recovery and therapy. A series of retrospective compilations were released over the time period, culminating in the Joni Mitchell Archives, a project to publish much of the unreleased material from her long career. She returned to public appearances in 2021, accepting several awards in person, including a Kennedy Center honor. Mitchell returned to live performance with an unannounced show at the June 2022 Newport Folk Festival and has made several other live appearances since, including a headlining show in 2023.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's done, I mean, just so much in her career. She's done so much for music. And it's just so cool to see how she changed with the times and didn't just get pigeonholed into, like, oh, you're a folk singer. She's like, no, I'm going to mess with electronic music.
So she's like Taylor Swift.
Sure. Joni Mitchell eras.
Yeah. Great. I love it.
So you ready for the song?
Yeah. Tell me about Big Yellow Taxi.
So Big Yellow Taxi. So in 1996, speaking to journalist Robert Hilburn, Mitchell said this about writing the song, quote, I wrote Big Yellow Taxi on my first trip to Hawaii. I took a taxi to the hotel, and when I woke up the next morning, I threw back the curtains and saw these beautiful green mountains in the distance. Then I looked down and there was a parking lot as far as the eye could see, and it broke my heart. This blight on paradise. That's when I sat down and wrote the song. The song is known for its environmental concern. The lyric, they paved paradise to put up a parking lot, and hey, farmer, farmer, put away that DDT now. And sentimental sound. The line, quote, they took all the trees and put them in a tree museum and charged the people $1.50 just to see them, refers to Foster Botanical Gardens in downtown Honolulu, which is a living museum of tropical plants, some rare and some endangered. In the song's second verse, the political gives way to the personal. Mitchell recounts the departure of her old man in the historic Big Yellow Taxi, which may refer to the old Metro Toronto police patrol cars, which until 1986 were painted yellow. In many covers, the departed one may be interpreted as variously a boyfriend, a husband, or a father. The literal interpretation is that he is walking out on the singer by taking a taxi. Otherwise, it is assumed he is being taken away by the authorities. Interesting. Mitchell's original recording was first released as a single and then, as stated above, included on her 1970 album, Ladies of the Canyon. A later live version was released in 1974 in the U.S., 1975 in France and Spain on Miles of Isles and reached number 24 on the U.S. charts. Billboard regarded the live version as, quote, more full of life than any of the singles Mitchell had released in a long time. Cashbox called the live version, quote, a great rendition of an excellent lyrical song. In 1995, to coincide with the song's inclusion in the American sitcom Friends, the song was released as a maxi single with new remixes in a variety of styles. The song still received significant airplay in Canada. In 2005, it was voted number 9 on CBC's list of top 50 essential Canadian tracks. In 2007, Joni Mitchell released the album Shine, which includes a newly recorded, rearranged version of the song. So there you go. It is a song that, the lyrics have changed slightly over time, and especially as some artists have covered it. I think Amy Grant is a notable cover. Joni specifically asked her to change a few lyrics.
What lyrics did she want changed?
I think the one that comes up the most is the $1.50 just to see him. She has changed that to a couple different things, but most recently it's changed to an arm and a leg.
Yeah, $1.50 doesn't really go that far anymore.
No. So some of those, I don't really know what other lyrics might have changed. Honestly, I haven't listened to the Amy Grant version.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's the song.
Interesting. And then Counting Crows did the cover as well. That's pretty famous.
Yep. So we listened to the Counting Crows version. I didn't want to dive too much in the weeds with the Counting Crows one since we're here to talk about Joni. But I will share this from the Village Voice about the Counting Crows version. And I'm eager to get your reaction to it. The Village Voice named this cover the worst song of the 2000s. And the Village Voice's scathing review of the cover is archived on Joni Mitchell's website.
Whoa.
The review derided the cover as having paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Wow. That's brutal.
So this is a quote from the author of the Village Voice article. Adam, we don't know if you misunderstood the song's anti-globalization, anti-industrialization, anti-corporation message, or just chose to ignore it so you could get free Frappuccinos for life. But we're going to hip you to the harsh reality. Seriously. You know the line about how they paved paradise and put up a parking lot? Like how they replaced something beautiful with something cold and heartless and commercial? That's you. You're the parking lot, motherfucker. You drove your shitty steamroller over something everyone loved, and so you could pander your sensitive pussyhound whine to people waiting in line at Carl's Jr. They paved Nirvana and put up a Counting Crow. Arg. That's the review from the Village Voice.
Wow. That is mean.
Yeah, like that is mean for mean's sake.
Wow. And she's just put that up on her website as a, like, proud of this thing?
I don't think she liked the cover.
Oh, gotcha.
I think she's siding with the Village Voice, being like, yeah, this Counting Crows version is horrible.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. And so I was eager to re-listen to the Counting Crows version with you to be like, what did I miss? Because I remember it was everywhere on the radio in like the early 2000s when it came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, lyrically, it's a kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. It takes a, like, musically, it's way different. I mean, it was the late 90s, early 2000s, right? So that was the, like, poppy music of the time just had that feel to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like it's in line with the era that it was released with. I mean, they changed the, like, Took My Man to Took My Girl Away.
Mm-hmm.
That's mean. That's really mean.
Yeah, that it's intense. That was looking up research and stuff. I found that and I was like, whoa, okay, this is one opinion.
Yeah, so. I mean, I like Joni's version better, obviously, but like, damn.
Yeah.
Don't get on that person's bad side.
No. Yes. The other versions of the song were met with, you know, pretty good reviews. They were pretty solid. This one was like so bad that I think I just had to share it.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
so
good to know the opinions of that.
Yeah. Not a fan of the Counting Crows version, which is fine. I definitely hear Joni's version a lot more,
mm-hmm.
and that is the version I also prefer,
mm-hmm.
so I'm happy to hear it more. I can't say I've heard anything from the Counting Crows in like a decade at least.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi folks, Al here, and when I'm not podcasting with Lee, I'm also the president of a company called Better Humans. At Better Humans, we use experiential challenges to help you level up those team skills, such as communication, collaboration, and trust, and we would love to serve your team. We work with all kinds of humans in every age range. Professional development for teachers, businesses, etc. We got you. Camaraderie for a new team formed at a corporation? Heck yeah! Student groups looking for some fun class bonding and relationship building? That's what we're made of. We know every team has unique needs, so every team gets a personalized program staffed by facilitators with a collective 100 years of experience. If you're in the KC area and this resonates with you, visit our website at betterhumansheartland.com or send us an email at betterhumansheartland@gmail.com. Better Humans LLC, cultivating leaders and teams in the heartland since 2023. Yeah, paved Nirvana and put up a County Crow.
Ooh. Yeah, and that quote literally ends with "arg" written out.
Wow. And if that's not the early 2000s, what is?
I know. I really miss music critics. They don't make them like that anymore.
Well, Lee, why this song?
This is, I mean, this was my introduction to Joni Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I was introduced to this song via Radio Disney.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we moved to the sprawling landscape of bountiful Utah when I was in like, I think like fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were only there like 6 months. It was for my dad's job. And so like looking for like a radio station. Like radio stations there in Bountiful, there was no like classic rock or like, you know, top 40.
Oh, so pause. Let's really emphasize this for people. We weren't calling Utah Bountiful. You literally lived in a city called Bountiful.
Yes.
Utah.
Yeah, yeah. The town was literally called Bountiful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's like, a choice.
It's now probably a suburb of Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like there was some distance,
mm-hmm.
you know. So my mom's always been a great aficionado of AM radio,
mm-hmm.
and just loves AM radio. So looking through there, my sister found Radio Disney, which I did not know was a thing,
mm-hmm.
Is a thing.
Oh, absolutely is a thing.
And they play some like actual versions of songs, and then some are like a bunch of kids like singing the songs. And it's
kids
kinda,
bop version.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. So like the kids bop version was the version I heard.
Ooh.
And it was like I was intrigued enough to look up who actually did the song.
Mm-hmm.
And found out it was Joni Mitchell and listened to it. I was like, oh, this is much better than a bunch of kids trying to sing on key to this song.
Yeah.
So this was my first exposure to Joni Mitchell. And then later, as my music evolved into the 60s and the 60s counterculture and then the 60s folk movement, I just kept coming across Joni Mitchell songs and became a big fan of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And this song has kind of always been like in my playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the message of it. Again, it's kind of like other songs that I've talked about where it sounds really upbeat, but it's really serious, which I think is a great way to convey a serious message in a song.
Mm-hmm.
Make it upbeat, make it easy to tap along to, make it easy to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And that message will get out there. So I really love that. And I do love how it goes from this like very political to very personal. And that's an interesting shift, I think. And it's I feel like Joni kind of letting you in to her life a little bit. Which yet I don't feel like happened very often. All her songs are very personal, but there was also this air of like, what is she singing about? So I really like the song for all those reasons.
Yeah, it's nice when you can pull back the veil and you're like, oh, like I can see this moment in your story.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting that piece you were talking about that historically the police cars in Canada were yellow. Because, you know, like here growing up, big yellow taxi is literally like the yellow taxi you would call to get a ride to like the airport, right? For our very young friends, it's pre-Uber.
Yeah, pre-Uber you had to call a taxi company that would send a yellow car.
Yeah. Right. So that's way different to think about like somebody leaving voluntarily because they called their own cab versus somebody who is getting taken away. And that really affects your life story.
Yeah. And I never knew, like you said, I never knew police cars in Canada used to be yellow. Like that's super interesting. So yeah, that changes the whole, that whole section of the song from this person leaving, you know, somewhat voluntarily to being taken away, likely involuntarily.
I really resonate too with this idea of like, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And the line that just like crushes me every time I hear it is about like they took all the trees and put it in the tree museum. Cause I was just like, oh, like our poor planet. Like, I don't want that to be the place where our children learn about the things that make this world beautiful. Right. Like, I want them to be able to go out and smell a ponderosa pine tree because it's growing in their neighborhood and not because, like, it's been taken somewhere, you know, like, theoretically for conservation, but, like, ultimately, who decided to dig them up?
Right.
Right? Probably the same people who profited from killing all the rest of them and is now going to profit from, like, us being like, oh, I want to see the last tree on Earth, right? So it just, oh, man, that breaks my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very heartbreaking song when you start digging into the lyrics. I think upon first listen, you're just like, oh, yeah, it's very catchy. And then you start thinking, wait, paved paradise, what does that mean? And then, yeah, then it all becomes, it becomes a very different song. But it is, it's a message, I think, that still needs to be heard as we start marching, as we keep marching ever forward and we keep not caring about the planet. So I don't know. I think this song fits with this month because Joni's a badass. And I mean, has just, you know, just been being a badass for so long and trying to raise awareness about things. And yeah, I mean, she there's a couple interviews from, I think, after she retired, but before she returned, before she had that brain aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very bitter
mm-hmm.
about the world and the recording industry. And, like, it is well justified.
Yeah.
Like, she was not treated well as a recording artist, as a person in the music industry. Like, yeah, it definitely makes sense. And it's been great to see her come back now. And she just won a Grammy for the Newport Folk Festival. She won best folk album.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the really interesting thing to me about people who follow their passions, like, regardless of what it is. There does become a point where, like, the coffee gets burned and it's really bitter. And I'm always curious to see, like, can you come back from that and can you find what you once loved about it? Or are things just so burned that you're like, no, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. And, you know, I'm glad that she came back because she still has clearly important things to say and people really resonate with her. And I would just, like, encourage other people who are kind of in that moment of like, oh man, like, the thing that I love doesn't love me back. Like, it's okay to step away from that for a minute and, like, reestablish you and then try and come back a little bit later.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Lee, any other thoughts on Big Yellow Taxi?
No, like I said, it's a great song and I hope folks listening to this have heard the song, and I hope what we're saying resonates with them. Like I said, Joni Mitchell is a wonderful artist and musician, and she has so many great songs. I'm sure we'll talk about her again in the future.
I do have to tell you this before we close out on Joni Mitchell, that literally whenever we talk about her, I just think about that scene from Love Actually, where the one lady, like, loves Joni Mitchell music and Alan Rickman is just like, why do you love this trash? And she's like, Joni Mitchell just gets me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That is, I mean, yeah, music resonates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't resonate with everybody, but boy, when it resonates with you, it is sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Lee, who would you like to talk about in April?
So since April is, April Fool's Day, we're going to talk about a song that I think we mentioned that we were going to talk about earlier, like last April, and then things fell apart.
Things fell apart hard, y'all. We're very sorry.
Yeah. So we're going to get back to that song finally. We're going to talk about Weird Al Yankovic's Amish Paradise.
Yes, Weird Al.
Yeah, there's a lot to this song and the song that it is parodying. So it should be pretty fun to listen to them with you and talk about them with you.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for doing all the research on that, Lee. I appreciate you.
Of course.
I always love learning with you.
Yeah, I love learning with you and teaching and, you know, hearing your insights. It always makes me think differently about what we've just listened to.
Thanks. Well, y'all, thank you so much for being with us. This has been Songs of Our Own. And until we get to be with you again, enjoy your own songs.